Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testament, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign in to Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 22 4466. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Our readings today are taken from Deuteronomy chapter 19 and 1 Peter 2 verses 11 to the end. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Nourish Your Soul.
Then, so we have our first reading taken from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 19, and we'll have two readers. The first one for the first three paragraphs, and then the other one for the next three paragraphs. Thank you, Joycey, for starting.
Okay. When the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you have dispossessed them and settled in their towns and in their homes, you shall set apart three cities in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall calculate the distances and divide into three regions the land that the Lord your God gives you as a possession, so that any homicide can flee to one of them. Now, this is the case of the homicide which might flee there and live. That is someone who has killed another person unintentionally, when the two have not been at enmity before. Suppose someone goes into the forest with another to cut wood, and when one of them swings the axe to cut down a tree, the head slips from the handle and strikes the other person, who then dies. The killer may flee to one of these cities and live. But if the distance is too great, the avenger of blood, in hot anger, might pursue and overtake and put the killer to death, although a death sentence was not deserved. Since the two had not been at enmity before, therefore I command you, you shall set apart three cities. The Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your ancestors, and he will give you all the land that he promised your ancestors to give you, provided you diligently observe the entire commandment that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God and walking always in his ways. Then you shall add three more cities to these three, so that the blood of the innocent person may not be shed in the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, thereby bringing blood guilt upon you.
Thank you very much. And then if Andy, you can continue.
But if someone at enmity with another lies in wait and attacks and takes the life of that person and flees into one of these cities, then the elders of the cities, the killer's city, shall send to have the culprit taken from there and handed over to the avenger of blood to be put to death. Show no pity. You shall purge the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, so that it may go well with you. You must not move your neighbour's boundary marker set up by former generations on property that will be allotted to you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. A single witness shall not suffice to convict a person of any crime or wrongdoing in connection with any offence that may be committed. Only on the evidence of two or three witnesses shall a charge be sustained. If a malicious witness comes forward to accuse someone of wrongdoing, then both parties to the dispute shall appear before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who are in office in those days, and the judges shall make a thorough inquiry. If the witness is a false witness, having testified falsely against another, then you shall do to the false witness just as a false witness has meant to do to the other. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. The rest shall hear and be afraid, and a crime such as this shall never again be committed among you. Show no pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
Thank you, Andy. And so our New Testament reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, started at verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Thank you.
Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honourable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or of the governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right, you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honour everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honour the emperor. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh. For it is to your credit if, being aware of God, you endured pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, where is the credit in that? But if you endure when you're doing right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might, for righteousness, by his wounds, you have been healed. For you are going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So yes, chip in with your own thoughts. Mine is kind of very short and goes around the idea of who has my soul. Actually, I had a conversation with my daughter yesterday about, how do we live in such a way that we are looking well after our soul, or we allow God to help us to nourish our soul. And interestingly, this passage starts with, and in the first sentence, that's something waging war against the soul, and ending this passage with, now we have returned to God through Jesus, who is the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. And so there is that reality. There is, in a sense, who is going to have my soul? And in today's society, there is so much that tries to get my attention, my time, my thinking, my worries. Who do I give energy and time? And what feeds my soul? And I think it was on Lectio 365 this morning, which is an app you can download. It's called Lectio 365. And it's a nice way to start the day. But I really loved one of the reflection there, which is about recognizing that sometimes we kind of have like spiritual amnesia. We forget who we are, whom we are, who do we belong to, and what's Christian life all about. And so he says, at times have I grown indifferent, even numb, to the reality of Christ in my life, And speaking of a prayer that we find in Ephesians, he says, by these words from Paul, awaken my dimming zeal, or that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened. And he continues a little bit further with that information. I don't need more information, and I certainly don't need more entertainment. What I need is revelation. I need to know the hope to which he has called me. No amount of doom, scrolling, or consuming will satisfy a soul, and that's the word here, a soul created with an internal and eternal appetite. Paul's prayer confronts my tendency to live with spiritual amnesia, forgetting that the power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in me. And so, yeah, realizing that there is a war. Jesus has won the war, but it's still for me to make those choices to live a life that help and nourish my soul. So that's kind of my thoughts for the day. Something else, in because those passages are rich with various things, so there might be something else that draw your attention.
Well, one thing that drew my attention was the passage in 1 Peter where I think it says, on everyone of the family of believers. And that goes back to a conversation we're having in our home group yesterday evening about pastoral care. This is about loving or trying to satisfy the soul of helping to satisfy the soul of other people, I suppose, going on from what you said, Fabian. You know, I'd like to pray for the pastoral care in our church, for those people that perhaps can't get to church but still need nourishment for their souls. How as a body of active believers we can help them.
Thank you. Something else from those reading, whether the Old Testament, the Psalms, or the New Testament?
You've gone down a different avenue, which was, very interesting. I just find that Deuteronomy and the things that are happening in the Middle East now seem to be very close. And I just wish I could hear the Christian voice a bit louder. It's a very different world when from Deuteronomy to when Jesus came and died for us. I'm always a bit troubled that of our silence. I'm apolitical, but my heart just bleeds when you see the pictures and the news. Can't help that this cannot be right. I cannot find any justification. So I'm a wee bit troubled when I, hear Deuteronomy, because for the Jewish nation, that is God speaking to them. So seeing it through the eyes of Christ, there's a different way. I feel we're failing Christ myself in not speaking. And I suppose I'm talking about the leaders of our religion. I suppose Pope Leo did say something yesterday, didn't he? But nearly deafened by the silence, really. Nourishing your soul. I didn't very good. And I did listen to Lectio 365, so I'm going to listen again. Because you can listen and you can read at the same time, and that's quite good, isn't it? To help your attention and take in the word for the day. So
thank you.
The Bible is just so rich, isn't it? You do have to read both halves. As Christians.
Yeah. And I think, although it's difficult, that Deuteronomy passage, I think in its context, it was actually quite progressive, because the normal way of avenging is to escalate, and that was a normal principle. You kill one, I kill two, and you kill four, and I kill eight, and God already kind of limits the vengeance to an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, foot for a foot. But I think also, I don't know if it helps, but also the clear distinctions between an accident killing, which then the person would be free from judgment because it was an accident, and an unjustified killing, which God really hates. You say when it's unjustified and unlawful, and
God tells us vengeance is His.
Vengeance is His. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure. It's yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes for me, I reflect on I've never been through a war. I don't know what it is.
Not me.
But I see a picture of when Europe was in war and how both sides could destroy cities in terrible ways. Mm. And you know how many civilians died in those days. I don't justify it, but it's
well, we never learn.
Yeah. Until Christ come, but we still have a duty as Christian community to speak truth in love and to speak justice and to find ways to be those peacemakers and agents of reconciliation.
Yeah.
So definitely to pray that those are gifts. You know, we can't produce those. We need the wisdom and the insight of God and the courage for those to stand. So we need new Mandela and new in South Africa. What was the other? The Archbishop Desmond Tutu. We need those figures. That have been shaped and prepared for those tasks.
There was a verse in 1 Peter which says, "But it is God's right. You shall silence the ignorance of the foolish." And I think we should pray that God's will be revealed. Warring nations in Gaza and Israel. That will be my prayer.
And of course, we don't hear the mostly many stories of people there who are living honorable lives and doing honorable deeds, and the doctors, the nurses, all the people who are volunteering, and it doesn't go through our media.
The Lord is there. There's no doubt about that, but he's calling us that are on the outside looking in.
Well, there is in part of our prayers, those in despair and darkness. So that touches that they may find hope and the light of Christ. Those in fear of death, that they may find faith through the resurrection, and the prisoners and the captives. And mostly there are still lots of prisoners also. We're thinking of Ukraine and Russia and all those who are at the moment in prison and captive because of the war. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray from the comfort of our own homes. Mm-hmm. Today, I have no fear of a bomb falling on my property. I don't have any fear of people breaking the front door and my life being in danger. But that's the fear and the reality of brothers and sisters and people who do not know you in many parts of this world. Today in Gaza, there will be family fearful for their lives, not knowing if at the end of the day, they will still be here on earth. And there are many fearful people in Israel, fearing that if they don't take those actions, they will have no future. Lord, maybe the best we can cry out is, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on our foolishness. Raise up people of influence that can speak words of life, words of truth, words that will cut our hardened hearts, that will soften the ground. And I don't think that much words at the moment can bring any healing to the suffering, but one day there will be need for healing and rebuilding. So we join the prayers around the world to pray for peace and to pray for those who are living there for an internal peace, even if everything is crumbling, for the peaces that surpasses all understanding and that will speak loudly of your existence and your presence. Be with our brothers and sisters in those places of conflict. Strengthen them. Increase their faith. Make them a people of praise despite the challenges. And grow their generosity. May they be agents of hope where they are. We ask in your name, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, Lord God, God of Abraham, we ask that your will be revealed to the leaders of the warring parties, and that they will have the courage to follow your will, because as believers, we know that your will is that everyone will prosper and that evil will be defeated. So, Lord, we pray that by what would seem to be a miracle to us, that you would change the behavior of the people who are fighting, provide them with the gift of love for their fellow human beings. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.